If your son asked for bread, you wouldn't give him a stone. But what if he asks for a rock to eat? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. Are we praying for things that would ultimately hurt us? That's the thought behind my opening question. When Jesus promises, ask and you'll receive, there are some boundaries to that grant. Terms and conditions may apply, as they say. The qualifications for answered prayer are mentioned right there in the Gospel of John. Let's listen as Jim outlines five checkpoints for these promises.
Look with me, please, at chapter 14 and verse 13 in the first of these series of promises. And here Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. As you weigh your request, the thing you want God to do, ask yourself, does this contribute to the glory of God through Jesus Christ? Is this something that will give God glory, or is this something that will magnify me? What Jesus is telling his disciples is the outcropping of his whole life. For 33 and a half years, he had lived on earth with one focus. He stated it plainly when he was a 12-year-old boy in the temple, when he said to his earthly father and mother, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business, capital F. I must be pursuing those things that bring glory to my Father. He would conclude his ministry by saying that every word he had spoken and every work he had performed had been performed out of the energies provided by the Father and was designed to glorify the Father. In just a few hours, he's going to go to the cross, and he's going to go to the cross because whatever the Father desires is his desire. There was no conflict between God the Father and God the Son. And God the Son was willingly living his life to glorify God the Father. Now the Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, the same thing will hold true with you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it. I will do it, that the Father may be glorified. So I ask myself as I look at my request, is this something that truly honors God, that gives God glory, that reveals in its answer that God is true? Secondly, the second thing that must govern my prayers in claiming this promise is also in verse 13 of chapter 14. Whatsoever you ask in my name. In Scripture, name often stands for character or person. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, etc. The prophecy is saying that the character of Jesus Christ the Messiah will be Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, Prince of Peace, that those names exhibit or define the attributes of his character. And when Jesus says, when you ask in my name, he doesn't mean add a little tag at the end that says, this we ask in Jesus' name. But he means that everything we ask needs to flow through the grid of the question, is this what Jesus would do? Is this how Jesus would act? Is this something that Jesus would be involved in? Is this something that he would be embarrassed to do? Read this week about a missionary in Africa. The mother delivering the child there died. The child was delivered prematurely. And the missionary doctor had a premature baby, and a 5-year-old daughter who now had no mother. He sent the assistant out to fill a water bottle, a rubber bottle with warm water, so that the baby could lie on or near the warm water bottle and not become chilled. The warmth of the bottle would protect the child, and the child had some chance of living. The last water bottle burst. They were without a water bottle. So the missionary called the children who were part of the orphanage ministry, told them the situation, and asked them if they would pray with him for a water bottle. One of the little girls said, "We should also pray for a doll baby, for the little girl who now has lost her mommy. That way, the little girl will know that Jesus loves her and that she's not alone." Missionary doctor smiled. They prayed. He set that whole prayer aside in his busy responsibilities. He returned from his tour of duty the next day, and there was a large package delivered to his house. He had been a missionary in that part of the world for years, and not once had he received a package. He called the children, and they began to open the 23-pound package that had just arrived. And, of course, tucked down inside of this box, sent by his former Sunday school class, was a rubber water bottle, exactly what they needed. And when he pulled it out, he read from the Sunday school teacher that God had impressed upon his heart to put this rubber bottle in. He had no idea why you would ever use a hot water bottle in Africa, Central Africa, with its heat, but he felt that it was something he should do, so he did it. As the missionary doctor showed the children the water bottle, the little girl, who the morning before had prayed, said, "Let's find the doll. There's got to be a doll in there." And there was. One little doll. Missionary pondered how God had anticipated those specific needs 5.5 months before, when the parcel had been put together, and how God had guided the package in its journey thousands of miles so that it would arrive exactly what was needed, exactly when it was needed. That's the kind of thing that Jesus would do. And that prayer of the little girl was answered before she even asked it. If we ask anything in Jesus' name, in character with Jesus, God will do it. The third test for our prayers of whatever you want is in chapter 15 and verse 7. There Jesus talks about asking whatever you desire. He says, "Ask, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." And he precedes that by this phrase, "If you abide in me." That means for my prayer to be answered, it has to issue forth out of my communion and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It needs to be a product, or if you please, a byproduct of my communion with him, my abiding in him, my settling into his character, to his will, to his mission. The context is the vine and the branches, you remember. And in that illustration, Jesus is showing how his life would flow into the branch, and through the branch, fruit would be born. But if the branch is severed from the vine, there won't be any fruit. There won't be any communication of the fruit-giving property of the vine. So I must test my prayer request against the question, does this enhance my fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Does this flow out of my personal conversation with Him? If it does, you got it. There's a fourth one also in that same verse. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And the fourth test is the test of Scripture. Scripture, what God has told us about His mind and His heart, if that abides in us, if that's at home in us, if that is monitoring, governing, directing, dictating our choices, then out of that we can ask what we will. So I must ask of my request, does this honor Scripture? In other words, it does me no good to claim this promise and ask God to rain fire and brimstone on the head of my enemy. Won't work. Because Jesus clearly taught us that we're to love our enemies. We're to do good to those that despitefully use us and persecute us. So the test of Scripture. That means I must be acquainted with and familiar with Scripture. I must hide it in my heart. I must know it well enough to know the mind of God so that my requests, my petitions flow out of that. So if I am abiding in Christ, seeking to know and to be like Him, and His Word is abiding in me, governing, directing, correcting, having its influence in my life, then I am free to ask what I will. And I have God's guarantee. It will be done. It will be done. The final test is down in chapter 15 and in verse 16, where Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it you. Fruitfulness. Does this request assist or enable me to be fruitful, to become like the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve others? Remember back in chapter 14 when He said, greater works than these you will do because I go to the Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, He will do it. Remember that? Again, the focus was, how does my request affect others? How does my request affect my fruitfulness? How does the fulfillment of this request that I'm asking God enhance my humility, my patience? How does it enhance my fruitfulness, my effectiveness in touching others with love and care and concern? How does it help me to witness about the Lord Jesus Christ to those around me? Those are the questions that flow out of fruitfulness. And when my request clearly connects with my fruitfulness, then I am praying in harmony with the will of God, and God says, whatever it is, ask, and I will do it. I think the reason God didn't cap the request list is because God knew that He'd be placing all of us in different circumstances and situations where our faith would be tested, where our fruitfulness would be tested, and where our labor for Him would be tested. And He wanted us to know that in the midst of those situations and circumstances, we could trust His heart. We could trust His will. Instead of backing away from prayer and not asking, God would rather we ask. And He's done everything that words can do to encourage us to be aggressive in asking Him for those things that are necessary, those things that are fruitful, those things that accomplish His will in our lives, those things that make us channels through which Jesus Christ accomplishes His work and greater work. Those things that give glory to God. Those things that shape and mold us in the likeness of Jesus. So just thinking about this and thinking of what your response might be and what I would think if I were sitting where you are, I think my response about now would be, okay, so this is all trickery. What we really have here is God baits and switches, see? God says you can have anything you want as long as you choose what I want. So what kind of request is that? And I would probably harden my heart, shut down my system, and leave the auditorium saying, what a God. Can't trust Him. But if you think about that response for a moment, what could I possibly want that God doesn't want for me? Unless it's harmful, unless it's destructive to my soul, unless I'm asking for something that is temporary and passing, when God would rather I have something that's permanent and eternal. So my challenge to you this morning and to myself is, let's ask. Just ask. If you're not sure about a burden or a request or a need, ask. Ask. He'll sort it out. And He has given us such great encouragement to ask by telling us that whatever we ask, He'll hear it. And if we ask anything according to His will, He'll do it. If it's not according to His will, you don't want it. Because it's only going to be destructive and harmful. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your great encouragement to us through Your Son to pray, to ask. Forgive us for our tendency to make prayer such a ritual, such a labor. Forgive us for our tendency to make it so technical, so cold and formal. Remind us that You have many gifts that are good and wholesome, gifts that go to the heart of our inner thirst and need, gifts that equip us for ministry and service, gifts that overcome the adversary, gifts that enlarge the borders of our ministry, gifts that make us fruitful and sweet and delightful to You, gifts that help us accomplish with our lives things that hold the fragrance of eternity. And You are in a giving mode. Forgive us our selfishness, our tendency to want to turn You into our servant and to reverse the process and superimpose our demands upon Your grace. Thank You that You love us too much to give us things that are harmful. And thank You for the open invitation to ask. My friend, as you sit here this morning, ask. Ask your deepest needs. Ask your deepest desires. Take to God every hindrance that impedes your progress of being fruitful, effective servants of the Most High God. Take the dreams and visions that you have to serve Him and ask. Take the needs of those around you to Him and ask. make a list. He will answer more than you would otherwise recognize. And his answers will slip past you and you'll not even notice them. And if this morning, friend, you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, start there. Ask him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you and make you righteous, make you like him. Teenager, take those questions to him and ask, 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 ask. He is more prepared to answer than we are willing to ask. Will you do that? Our Father, create within our hearts an insatiable desire to ask whatever will give you glory, to ask anything that harmonizes with the beauty and perfection of Jesus Christ. To ask the resources needed to be fruitful, the strength to be effective, to ask that our abiding in you might be strengthened and that your word abiding in us might be evident. Give us desires that demand that we ask. Desires that eclipse our capacities and that overwhelm us. Desires that only you can accomplish. And then teach us to bring those desires to you and to ask. Place upon us a great burden to be askers, and a great delight in the asking and the receiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, now go ask.
God wants to answer our prayers. That's a thought worth rolling around for a while. He wants fruit, he wants productivity, and he wants to bless us. Yet we have the problem that James identified in his letter, we ask amiss. Pastor Jim has tried to straighten out some kinks in our understanding with his message, Need Not, Ask Not. The complete message can be yours on CD for a gift of $7 or more. For a contribution of $42 or more, we'll send you all 12 CDs in the series, How to Live Effectively, Volume 2. I'll give ordering details, but I wanted to mention that we're not after your data. We won't bother you with a lot of unwanted solicitations, just this one right here. Right Start is able to broadcast God's Word because some listeners are praying, some are giving financially. If this program is a blessing to you, consider returning the favor. Thanks. To help, please mail us at Right Start. P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Or call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And visit our website where you can link to the daily Right Start podcast. That brings the show to your smartphone on the iTunes platform. If you prefer, you can listen to radio shows right from our site, which is rightstartradio.org. And to hear Pastor Jim's entire sermons without the broadcast breaks, you can play or download them the same place. Contribute, email us, and more at rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. We're just about at the end of our How to Live Effectively series, but one more thing needs to be said, and busy folks in our culture need to hear it. Please join us again tomorrow for Friday's Right Start.